Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. I just have to apologize if I cough a lot. I've taken stuff, so but still not stopping very much, very good. Okay. Canto 1, chapter 19, text number 6. Right? Number 6. Ya vai lasach Shri Tulasi Vimishra Krishnangri Renu Abhyadikambu Netri Punati Lokan Ubayatra Seishan Kas Tam Na Sevata Marishamanaha Ya Vaila Sastri Tulasi Vimishra Krishnangri Rin Vab Yadi Kambunetri Punati Lokan Ubayatra Seshan Kastam Nasevata Marishyamanaha Yavaila Sach Krishtulasi Vishmishra Krishnangri Rin Babyadi Kambunetri Punati Lokan Ubayatra Seshan Kastam Na Sevata Marishyamanaha. We have someone chat.
Such is our
understand word for word meaning? Yah, the river which. Why? Always. Lastat, floating with. Sri Tulasi, Tulasi leaves. Vimishra, mixed. Krishna Angri, the lotus feet of the Lord. Sri Krishna. Renu, dust. Abhyadika, auspicious. Ambu, water. Netri, that which is carrying. Punati, sacrifices. Lokan, planets. Ubayatra, both the upper and lower, or inside and outside. Saishan, along with Lord Shiva. Kaha, who else? Tam, that river. Na, does not. Seveta, worship. Marishamanaha, one who is to die at any moment. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The river Ganges, by which the king sat to fast, carries the most auspicious water, which is mixed with the dust of the lotus feet of the Lord and Tulasi leaves. Therefore, that water sanctifies the three worlds inside and outside, and even sanctifies Lord Shiva and other demigods. Consequently, everyone who is destined to die must take shelter of this river. Purport. Maharaj Parikshit, just after receiving the news of his death within 7 days, at once retired from family life and shifted himself to the sacred bank of the Yamuna River. Generally, it is said that the king took shelter on the bank of the Ganges, but according to Srila Jiva Goswami, the king took shelter on the bank of the Yamuna. Srila Jiva Goswami's statement appears to be more accurate because of the geographical situation. Maharaj Parikshit resided in his capital, Hastinapur, situated near present Delhi, and the river Yamuna flows down past the city. Naturally, the king would take shelter of the river Yamuna because she was flowing past his palace door. And as far as sanctity is concerned, the river Yamuna is more directly connected with Lord Krishna than the Ganges. The Lord sanctified the river Yamuna from the beginning of his transcendental pastimes in the world. While his father Vasudeva was crossing the Yamuna with the baby Lord Krishna for a safe place in Gokula on the other bank of the river from Mathura, the Lord fell down in the river, and by the dust of his lotus feet, the river at once became sanctified. It is especially mentioned herein that Maharaj Parikshit took shelter of that particular river, which is beautifully flowing, carrying the dust of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, mixed with Tulasi leaves. Lord Krishna's lotus feet are always besmeared with the Tulasi leaves, and thus, as soon as his lotus feet contact the water of the Ganges and the Yamuna, the rivers become at once sanctified. The Lord, however, contacted the river Yamuna more than the Ganges. According to Varaha Purana, as quoted by Srila Jiva Goswami, there is no difference between the water of the Ganges and the Yamuna. But when the water of the Ganges is sanctified 100 times, it is called Yamuna. Similarly, it is said in the scriptures that 1,000 names of Vishnu are equal to one name of Rama, and 3 names of Lord Rama are equal to one name of Krishna. Oh, made it through that. Sorry, I have to apologize. I'm just somehow going through some karma. Okay. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Siva Sri Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, very interesting here that in the next verses ahead, going ahead, it's very auspicious that King Parikshit came to the Jamuna because there he meets Sukadeva Goswami, and there we hear the Srimad Bhagavatam. So these rivers like the Yamuna and the Ganga, as it says here, it's been sanctified by the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, whose feet are besmeared with the Tulsi Devi. And we know that Tulsi is so important in just the daily worship in our temples. We offer Tulsi on each preparation that's cooked. We have Tulsi Puja. And all these things are there in order for us to feel the sanctity of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I was thinking that... I want to read this. I almost forgot. I'm a little bit slow today, so forgive me. I just wanted to read a little something about the Jamuna that I have found on the internet. It'll just kind of give us a background of the Jamuna. Okay. Jamuna, also known as Kalindi, along with the Ganges, is the most holy and famous river of India. She begins her course high up in the Himalayas at Yamunanotri and flows down the plains specifically to come to Vrindavan. It is often said that rivers are the lifelines of any civilization. This situation is a perverted reflection arising from Yamuna being the lifeline of Lord Sri Krishna's pastimes in the land of Raj. We see that in all the pastimes of Lord Krishna, Yamuna Devi is always there, enhancing the mood and sweetness of the pastimes of Krishna. Would take his cows... Yamuna would supply water to Krishna's calves and cows. Yamuna's water was sweeter than the sweetest of all nectar. Always at perfect temperature within these waters of the Yamuna, he would have swimming and splashing and all different kinds of sportive games with the gopas in Shankya Ras, mellow of friendly relationship. Sri Jamuna Devi also served as the playground for Nauka Vihar, the playful boating pastimes of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, and many other Madhurya Ras, mellows of conjugal love, pastimes for Krishna and the gopis in the enchanting moonlit nights of Vrindavan. When Krishna requested Srimati Radharani to descend with him to earth, she replied, "I do not feel happiness anywhere where River Yamuna, the forests of Vrindavan, and Gokul Dham are not there. So I won't come down there without them." So Yamuna is descending from the spiritual world, Krishna Loka, and she is coming to this world through Yamunotri and flowing to meet Mother Ganga at Prayag. Yamuna Mayi is actually an expansion of Vishakha, one of the two most confidential maidservants of Srimati Radharani. In fact, Vishakha Devi is an expansion of Radharani herself. To enhance the pleasure of Krishna's pastimes, Radharani thus expands herself as River Jamuna. Jamuna Ji appeared in this world as the daughter of Surya and the sister of Yamaraj. And Yamaraj, being very affectionate to his sister, does not disturb any person who is blessed by Yamuna Devi, as stated by Rupa Goswami in Yamuna Stotkam. Sattakam. Jiva Goswami quotes from the Shastras that how Ganges is the Acharanamrita of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But if we multiply the power of purification of bathing in the Ganges by 100 times, that is the effect of bathing in the Jamuna. The Jamuna is eternally participating in the Lord's Leela. The Jamuna is eternal Charanamrita of Sri Sri Radha Krishna, the gopas and the gopis. And when we bathe in the Jamuna, we are bathing in that nectar. And most of all, it is Jamuna Mayi's love in the form of that water. Therefore, bathing in Jamuna is one of the most important aspects of worshipping the holy land of Vrindavan. Jamuna is always pure, whatever anyone puts in it. No one can contaminate Jamuna. What's not Jamuna may be contaminated, but what's Jamuna cannot be contaminated. So when we bathe in the Jamuna, we are actually bathing in that essence, not in some sewage-polluted river, but in the Jamuna, which is the sweet nectarian Charanamrita of Radha and Krishna and the Vrajavasis. And the Charanamrita of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, and the six Goswamis, and all the Acharyas. It's there. It's all there. It's not that it flows down the stream and goes into the ocean. It is eternally present in the form of Charanamrita of all these great souls. There are many ghats, like along the banks of Jamuna, where Krishna and Balaram have performed several pastimes, such as Chir Ghat, Kaliya Ghat, Keshi Ghat, and Rama Ghat, and so forth. Jamuna Mayi Ki Jai. Just thought I'd read that to kind of give us a perspective of the importance of the Jamuna River. And at the same time, I thought it was kind of important in this particular context to speak that these places of pilgrimage are very important for the advancement, for the purification of the living entity. And I looked up something about the Jamuna at present, and I saw this video, and I was shocked at what the condition. I mean, we're reading some really beautiful examples or definition, description of Jamuna, but I saw this video as what the present Jamuna River is. But I was very impressed by the fact that even though there was so much contamination, and as you see this video, it's a 10 or 15 minute video, you can just Google it in. And it shows some of the pilgrims in the Jamuna River, and there's foam coming up about 4 or 5 feet high out of the Jamuna. It's some kind of chemical waste. And still, they were in the Jamuna, and they were bathing. And some of the quotes were that this is the Jamuna, there's no contamination. I was very impressed, a little bit taken aback by their devotion. They're so devoted. And here, this description, it says that the Jamuna River cannot be contaminated in any way. And especially since it touched the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this takes an amazing amount of faith. And we see that there are people that have this faith. Sometimes we see that people will go to these kind of pilgrimages and go to these holy rivers and they'll take a bath. Even the Christians, they have a very famous, the Jordan River. Yeah, the Jordan River, very famous for Christians to go and bathe and get sanctified, get purified. And of course, the Hindus also, we have Vrindavan, Prayag, we have, the Ganges, Hardwar. Yes, there's. So people are thinking that, let me just go there, let me just take my bath, and that's it. But no, that's really not the real pilgrimage. The real pilgrimage is to go there, take a bath, but then meet or look for a transcendentalist. Now, this is the completion of pilgrimage. So many times you see people just go to a particular place like that, and they'll just take a bath and leave. And this time when I was in India, we have a shipper. He ships all the goods for the buffet, the Govindas. And I've known him since he was 18 years old. And now he's something like 40-something, two kids and everything. So a long time. Very good relationship with him. I've come to his home. I've stayed at his home. There's so many things he's done for us. And when I go to visit him in his office, I see him there. He's got a pad, and he's writing, Ram, 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 Ram. I think he does it like 1,000 Rams a day. Ram, 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 Ram. And then at a particular point, he's also a Durga Ma. He also worships Durga. So he's got Ram and he's got Durga. And then we came to his office, and on many occasions he's asked me, why don't you come on a darshan, you know, a parikrama with me? I said, oh, you know, I ain't got time. So this time when I went there, he said, hey, I'm going to Hardwar. Why don't you come with me? And I was thinking, oh, God, there's so much to do here and everything. He said, no, come on, let's go together. I said, what are you going to do there? What do you do? So he said, well, I'll get up real early. I'll get in a car, and we'll drive there at, you know, breakneck speed. He's got a driver. He doesn't drive. But, you know, he said, we'll zip there, he tells me, very, very quickly. And I said, then what do you do? And he said, I'll take a bath. And I was looking at some weather report, and it said it's practically snowing there. So, you know, that was like a turnoff. and then he said, then I said, well, then what? He said, we'll take some Mahaprasad, and we'll get in the car, and we'll come back to Delhi. And I was saying, oh, my God, you know, this is what they think is darshan. This is what they think. They go to a famous place, a very beautiful place like Hardwar, which is actually very auspicious and purifying. But they go there just to take their bath. Why? Well, you know, he's writing Ram, 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 and he's worshiping Durga for two reasons. He knows that he's, as a businessman, you have to do simple activity. You can't avoid it. It's there. It's part of it. You have to do a little bit of cheating. You know, like this thing, for you, I make no profit. That kind of a thing. You know, it's funny. It's a particular lifestyle. So they know they need to go periodically, and they need to get purified at these particular places. But the unfortunate fact is they don't understand what the real principle is. They really don't want to meet someone that can tell them what the real purpose of life is. They're just going there to get purified. But what's really important on this particular issue, though, is that they don't realize that really the importance of a holy place is, or a place of pilgrimage, it's due to the presence of the transcendentalists and the yogis and the bhaktas. That's the real essence of that particular pilgrimage site. Like, for instance, it's described in the Bhagavatam that when someone goes to the river Ganges or the Jamuna and they take bath, their simple activities are washed away into the Jamuna, into the Ganga. But it says that the pure devotee of the Lord, those that are fully absorbed in the hearing and chanting of the Supreme Lord and residing within that place, they sanctify the Jamuna and the Ganga from these simple activities. This is the power of a pure devotee of the Lord. They sanctify that particular place, and that's what makes that pilgrimage place powerful. Because all the sins, you know how many people are going there and they commit so many sinful activities and they're leaving so much there. And who sanctifies it? The pure devotees of the Lord, who are completely absorbed there and worshiping Krishna. And so we need to have that kind of a person, that kind of association. And what kind of a person is that? In other words, there's so many sadhus there. So many. We don't know who's who practically. But Krishna, he identifies his pure devotee. He says, Taisam satatam yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogamtam yena mancham. What's that? Thank you. I'm trying to think of what to say, and I'm trying to think about how not to cough at the same time. So, tesam satatam yuktanam. This means constantly. That person's constantly, Prabhupada said, 24 hours a day. Bhajatam, chanting, glorifying in the nine processes of Krishna consciousness. Fully absorbed in bhajatam. And priti purvakam. Priti purvakam means that with love and devotion. So that is the type of person that we want to meet when we go to his pilgrimage site. That's the kind of individual that would make that particular pilgrimage the proper understanding of having a pilgrimage by meeting such a great soul. And Srila Prabhupada said that what is a symptom of a person that performs this love and devotion to Krishna? What is the epitome of that love? And Srila Prabhupada described that the epitome of that love is that that devotee, his love for Krishna is exhibited by his intense desire to glorify the Lord, to have his Lord's name broadcast everywhere throughout the whole world. And Srila Prabhupada said that is the epitome of love to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to glorify him, to announce his existence, his pastimes, his name, all his activities. Prabhupada said that is the epitome of real love. So when I was reading this, I was thinking to myself, just see what Srila Prabhupada has done for us. You know, for us to go to the Jamuna every day is really almost impossible. We can't go to the Jamuna every day. We're not there. But there is a pilgrimage place that we can go to. Because according to Bhagavatam, wherever the pure devotee of the Lord goes, or wherever he is a pilgrimage. This is a pilgrimage. So I was thinking in New Dwarka, we can be on pilgrimage every day just by coming to the temple. Because Srila Prabhupada's footprints are everywhere. The dust of his lotus feet are throughout this whole building, throughout this whole property. He has his room. And he's purifying this atmosphere constantly. So we can actually absorb ourselves in this idea of being on pilgrimage every day, just being here in the temple and exhibiting to our all the different functions that go on, the service of the deities, the cooking, the sounds, the smells. All these things are there. But not only that, but just coming here, coming to this particular place, when we come from outside and we come here, we may be performing sinful activities out there. People are coming in that are maybe doing so many sinful acts. But the minute they come into the temple, they become purified. You can see the difference. Sometimes, you know, just the other day I took a person into the temple, and they were just, you know, karmis, just ordinary people. But when they came in here, immediately they felt the presence. They said to me immediately, "Wow, this is amazing. She told me, "I would never think being outside that this is what is inside." It was such a contrast to how and where she was and to where she is now in the temple room. So that effect of the pure devotee is throughout this whole temple. It's here every single day for us to take advantage of it and for us to become purified. So we see that the process that Srila Prabhupada gave us, he set up so many wonderful things here, that's for our purification. And every day we can become purified just by coming to the temple and chanting, seeing the deity. And one may never even have to go to India to see the Jamuna and take bath in the Jamuna. If you do go there, then you should take advantage, absolutely. But what's important here is that we know that the pure devotee, Srila Prabhupada, was here, and he established this wonderful place for us to go through our Krishna conscious activity. So it's so important. You know, we see the people in the material world, they're fully absorbed in sense gratification. There's that verse, Nunam Pramata Kurutevi Karma, Yad Indriya Prittaya Aprinoti. It's described that when one considers sense gratification to be their aim of life, immediately they become overwhelmed and mad after materialistic life. And that way they perform sinful activities. They become mad. Now, how to describe this madness? When I was looking at this verse, I was thinking, wow, madness. I can only relate to madness when I was a teenager. And I thought as a teenager, like probably most of us, I thought that the goal of life was to enjoy to the epitome of life. You know, we would do everything to the extreme measure. Whatever kind of intoxication, whatever kind of sense gratification there was, we wanted to just immediately just dive into it. So it's described here that when one makes sense gratification the goal of their life, they become mad. Just like, you know, a teenager that becomes mad. Those of us that are parents, we know, we knew what it meant to have a child who's, you know, goes mad for sense gratification. Yes, they want everything. So this is the culture in society today. That the culture is as much sense gratification as one can possibly muster up. This is what we should do. So that's why it's so imperative for us here to try to really understand the loving tendency of Srila Prabhupada. He loved Krishna so much that his desire was only to give everyone an opportunity to hear about Krishna consciousness. So that's why these temples are here. And as we know, there was no one more dear to Krishna than one who propagates or promotes Krishna's name and pastimes. This is Priti Purvakam. This is the epitome of love. So we as devotees, we can have darshan every day. We can be on pilgrimage every day. And the other thing that we have to do is to propagate. It's our prescribed duty to assist Srila Prabhupada in his effort to propagate the Krishna conscious movement throughout the world. And you can see Prabhupada exhibited his loving tendency towards Krishna, that he did create this Krishna consciousness movement around the world. It's everywhere. Anywhere you can practically go, there's a Krishna conscious temple. That's the exhibition of Srila Prabhupada's love for Krishna, for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is how he exhibited it. So we as devotees living in this temple, we should also, with enthusiasm, try as much as possible, with real enthusiasm, to exhibit the same tendencies. This is how we actually can learn to love the Supreme Lord, by following in the footsteps of the great acharyas, and especially Srila Prabhupada. It's so essential for us, it's so important for us to actually preach this Krishna conscious message. It's essential. It's actually for our advancement. And we have so many great opportunities. And we see here King Parikshit, at the end of his life, he wanted to spend that time simply hearing and chanting about the Supreme Lord. And it was to his benefit that Sukadeva Goswami came and gave him the Srimad Bhagavatam, recited the Srimad Bhagavatam. So every day we hear the Srimad Bhagavatam here. You can see it's every day we listen to a class, a discourse on Bhagavatam. And this is purifying. People, in general, they're very confused in the material world. Everyone is looking for vimukti, some kind of liberation. But they don't know what it means. They don't understand. Nate vidu svartha. What is that? Nate vidu svartha. Yeah. Hi Vishnum. They don't understand that that is the ultimate goal of liberation or, liberation. They have no idea. In the material world, they think vimukti or some kind of liberation is to get out of an inconvenient situation. Like you might use an example of like a car. Before, people had to walk. So vimukti is they developed a car. Now you don't have to walk. Now you can take a car. This is a type of vimukti. So people are looking for this type of vimukti every day. There's always so many consequences or inconveniences in the material world. And everyone is constantly trying to figure out how a convenient way to get rid of inconveniences. They're doing this every single day. You can just go to Target. If you go to Target store, you'll see all the conveniences of life, right? They're all there to take away the inconveniences that we're experiencing on a daily basis. So everyone is always looking for vimukti, vimukti. They want some kind of relief. They want some kind of happiness. But they don't understand what the real relief is, what the real happiness is. That's birth, death, old age, and disease. How to alleviate those difficulties. Those are the major difficulties of life. Everything else is going on. We see the birds, the beasts, everyone is eating, everyone's sleeping, mating, defending. These things are going on. No one has, elephant doesn't have to go to office. It's getting fed. Ants, they don't have to worry about anything. They just eat a little bit of sugar and they're intoxicated. So people are working so hard for these things, to eat, sleep, mate, and defend. And they don't understand the principle. And in that way, they're always being frustrated. Never satisfied, never happy. So the Krishna Conscious Movement, we have these pilgrimages, these temples where people can come and feel some relief. And then from there, they'll understand what real vimukti means. Real vimukti means to get over this birth, death, old age, and disease. This is the real tribulations of human life. And this is the real test for us as devotees. We have to become absorbed in Krishna's pastimes, in the chanting of the holy name, doing service. We have to come to that point where we are actually also satatam kirtayam. We have to be there. Bhajatam priti purvakam. Didami buddhi yogam tam yena mam yupayanti te. Then we'll actually understand Krishna. So, I can't talk anymore. I'm sorry, I was a little bit spaced out today. I couldn't get it together, but I tried whatever I could. So, all right. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.